Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Block Party's debut album, Silent Alarm, was named Best Album of the Year by the British magazine NME in 2005, and it was shortlisted for the prestigious Mercury Prize in the UK. The band's memorable hooks and catchy choruses have earned them fans on both sides of the pond for songs like this one called Banquet. Tomorrow, Block Party will be performing in Brooklyn at McCarran Pool. And I'm glad to have two of the members of Block Party here in our Soundcheck studio. Singer-guitarist Kelly Okereke. I just needed a second to get it together. And drummer Matt Tong.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to both of you. Kelly, there's a lot of stories, somewhat competing stories, floating around the internet of how the band got started. One of them being that you thrust a copy of one of your songs into the hands of Alex Kapranos, the lead singer of Franz Ferdinand, in the middle of a concert one day. Is that really what happened?
It wasn't exactly the middle of a concert. It was more like, I think, before. I'd been having an email correspondence with Alex Kapranos before, you know, from Franz Ferdinand, before they kind of blew up, really. So I remember reading stuff about them and in the British music press, and I like the sound of their influences. Before, if I'm honest, I'd even heard what they sounded like. I sent them an email saying that we were a band, and I gave him a CD, and he said he liked it, and he put us on. Well, they put us on once at a show in London before their first single came out.
Now, you know what's funny is that by the time the album Silent Alarm came out, there was an almost unnatural amount of buzz around the band. You already had, you know, kind of a cult following and a reputation. Kelly, was that hard on you guys to you know, kind of live up to that?
This sense of buzz? No, not really, because it's something that, you know, it's not really something that affects you in that you only ever turn up to play shows. You know, you don't really know how the music industry is really working. When you're touring, you know, you're just playing to people that are excited to see you. You only really contextualize what that buzz is when you do interviews, when people ask you about how do you feel about the buzz. You know, it's not something that, you know, you suddenly wake up and bees are buzzing in my ear as soon as I get up. It's, you know, it's not something that really, you know, it's not something that really affects us really when you're in a touring band.
When you were in the studio actually making the record, though, I mean, you know, was there this kind of weight of expectation on you at that point, or was it still at the stage where you were just a bunch of friends in a studio having fun?
I suppose there was a sense of expectation, but that was nothing compared to our own personal sense of expectation, really. I think we all wanted to make the best record that we possibly could. You know, and between the four of us, we're notoriously quite hard to please. So I think that was really the overriding factor whilst we were recording, not really how it was going to be perceived.
Right. Well, it was perceived pretty well on both sides of the pond, and really seems to have struck a chord with audiences here in the U.S. as well as in the U.K. with songs like this one from the band Block Party. This is Like Eating Glass. Glass is from the album Silent Alarm from the British band Block Party. We're speaking with singer and guitarist Kelly Okereke and drummer Matt Tong. Kelly, Like Eating Glass like many of the other songs on the album, has lyrics that, you know, deliver a little more substance than the usual I love you, why don't you love me kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there are these kind of evocative images, the children sent home from school and all that kind of stuff. They're a little more, and take this the right way, a little more mature than I would expect from, you know, a bunch of guys who are basically just out of university, right?
I guess the thing about this record, a lot of the images are quite abstract, but they're also quite dark. And I guess, you know, I'm a person that those sort of images tend to resonate with, really. Yeah, you know, I don't think I could be, you know, I don't think personally I'd feel comfortable making sort of music that was just I love you, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. sort of thing.
You look good on the dance floor.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of darker things in life have always captivated me more than the frivolous, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, in university, you studied English literature, right? Mm-hmm. So, are we hearing a kind of lingering influence of your schooling in some of the lyrics?
You know, I guess when you... You know, when you're a creative person, you're influenced a lot by everything you take in. And I guess, you know, there must have been some residual influence from studying English at university. But, you know, there was never a conscious attempt to rewrite something. Or a lot of the lyrics from this record came without much meditation at all, really. They just sort of... Just ideas that I had in the practice room that I fleshed out over the course of, you know, I guess half a year writing the songs. But there was never a real moment where I sat down and said, "This is what a song's going to be about." Really, that's probably the difference between the Silent Alarm and this next record that we're doing now. With this next record, I wanted to make sure that I knew exactly what I was saying. You know, abstraction's fine, but you know, I think more often than not, it can be used to hide the fact that people don't really know what they're trying to say.
Hmm.
And I think with this next record, you know, I was very much aware of what I wanted to say. So
does that mean that the abstractions, I mean, in this first album, are you saying that you didn't know what you were saying?
Well, I did. There are some things that I had a concrete idea about beforehand, but, you know, there are some things that were just... You know, rhythmical things that I sort of expanded and later then worked out what the intention of the song was. You know, there were some things that only really clicked, you know, 6 months or a year after touring the record and having to talk about it every day. But you know, that's just how I was working, I guess, at the start.
Right, but as you say, now having had to explain yourself time after time, you become a little more self-aware, and the process evolves a bit.
Definitely.
All right. So the new album, I mean, you guys are what, about halfway through it, Matt?
We've pretty much done all the recording. I think we're going to do for this record. We've got to go back and get it mixed and, I guess, sequence the track listing and whatnot. But
and you're working with Jackknife Lee, the guy who produced U2 and people like that.
Yeah, we need to shift some units now and fill some stadiums. So
well, you know, this goes back to, you know, I asked you before about the weight of expectation when you were making the first record.
Yeah.
You made the dreadful error of making a good record, and now you have the sophomore jinx to worry about.
Yeah, we've been cursing that decision ever since. But, no, we chose Garrett as we know him, really, I guess, for his experience in dance music more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
He's in kind of a notable DJ and dance producer as well as you know, working with the likes of U2 and Snow Patrol, and I think that's definitely been quite influential on this record.
All right, now Matt, when did you actually join Block Party?
I think officially I agreed to join in November 2002, but I think we started practicing around that time as well.
And is it true you were like the 10th drummer in the band already?
I could have been. It's somewhere around that.
So is there like a Spinal Tap thing happening? Kelly, did you just have drummers spontaneously combusting earlier in the early days?
No, just pretty much all of them are pretty rubbish beforehand.
Well, the band is you know, playing a style that people are referring to as guitar rock, but Matt, the drumming, there's some pretty interesting rhythmic stuff going on here too. How's that all worked out in the studio? I mean, you know, in terms of how are all the different parts kind of, I don't know, are they laid out before you go
kind
in
of
there?
It's sort of a balancing act. It's sort of kind of, I see it as kind of an attempt to sort of marry my kind of natural instinct to Shaft as much as possible with kind of Kelly's more kind of solid ideas for how he thinks a rhythm should be. And I think, you know, hopefully we've been generally find a happy medium between the two.
This is the song Positive Tension from the album Silent Alarm. My guests are Kelly Okereke and Matt Tong from the band Block Party. She said, I'm gonna use my teeth and my claws. She said, I'm gonna use my teeth and my claws. She said, I'm gonna use my teeth and my breasts. I'm gonna make it happen. Album's called Silent Alarm. The band is Block Party, and they are performing tomorrow night in the McCarran Pool in Brooklyn. We're speaking with Kelly Okereke and Matt Tong, singer, guitarist, and drummer, respectively, from the band. Kelly, you were raised in London by Nigerian-born parents.
Yes.
How did that influence, if at all, the kind of music that you grew up listening to and maybe the kind of communal or social concerns that you have in your lyrics?
Well, I guess my parents weren't really very big music fans, really. They had some, actually, African sort of music. There's some King Sunny Ade and some Fela Kuti, but not really much. And they had a few Beatles records and Bob Marley records. I didn't really discover music until, actually, I was in secondary school and I started playing the guitar. And I, you know, suddenly had this really voracious appetite to just learn as much about different sorts of things as possible. In terms of how it affected socially, the concerns that I touch upon when I write, I guess, being sort of second generation, I guess you're kind of caught in between worlds. Yeah, I guess at times, you know, I'd go out and meet friends that were English, and, you know, coming back home to my parents, they couldn't understand certain things, and it's strange. You can kind of feel like you're in limbo sometimes. You know, it was difficult, and you sometimes observe things from the periphery.
Yeah,
that are from England or from the place that, you know, that have a sense of history attached to the place that they grew up in, can sometimes take for granted.
Right. So do you somehow feel, I mean, how English do you feel?
How English do I feel? I guess that's quite tricky because, I it's where I was born and it's where I grew up, and certainly lots of aspects of my personality that are very, very English, but at the same token I'm kind of also aware that I'm not really English. Walking down the street in East London, there are probably a lot of people that wouldn't think that I was English at all. There are still racial divides in London, no matter what anyone will tell you. I noticed that especially during the recent World Cup.
Oh, really?
It was quite a divisive attitude in the air. The way that football celebrated in the UK is really kind of xenophobic, and there's a real sort of sinister undercurrent to it. And you know, there are the Union Jacks and St. George flags, like England flags, pretty much everywhere. You know, for that 2 weeks, and I was walking with my flatmate, who's like a white girl. I was walking to my house from the station, and somebody drove up and shouted something offensive.
To you or to me, her?
To her, because she was like standing next to a black girl. They assumed that we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and this was in the period that, you know, this was in the first period of the World Cup, and it was kind of, you know, I really, when that happened, you kind of really realise that there really are still pretty strong divides.
I was actually in London for much of the World Cup, and you know, but sort of in the Western end as opposed to the East. And,
yeah,
you know, where people like Thierry Henry, who is black and plays for Arsenal, is a god, even though he's playing for France. Yeah. You know,
well, there's an awful lot of
hypocrisy
hypocrisy amongst football fans. Whereas, you know, I think, you know, I'm not generalising, but, you know, certain people can harbour kind of very negative views towards different ethnicities, yet, you know, there could be a black player who's a star playing a team and he's, like, idolised,
right,
lionised by his, you know, his team supporters. It's all fiercely territorial, and the scary thing is that London is one of the more kind of tolerant areas of England, you know. You go far up north, you know, somewhere like Newcastle, for instance.
Might be a different...
And you get all sorts of hassle. It's not good.
Matt Tong is the drummer of Block Party. Kele Okereke is the singer and guitarist from the band. They're my guests on Soundcheck. And I guess one of the ways that this all plays out, Kele, is in that kind of observer stance that you take in a lot of the songs. You know, as you said before, the new songs on the next record, you're taking a more kind of self-conscious, a specific approach to it. Mm. Are you kind of like really putting yourself on the sidelines and watching the play unfold in front of you, so to speak?
With the new stuff, I guess, I just wanted to make something that was really personal in a way that Silent Alarm wasn't really. Some of it's going to be quite angry and some of it's going to be quite ugly. And I don't really know how people are really going to react to it. But that's the thing about good art, really, is that, you know, most of it is quite angry. Most of it does try to address something that isn't right with society, and I think that's more important, really, to me now.
Well, there are hints of that on Silent Alarm. I mean, the song Price of Gas is fairly upfront about, you know, what it's about. It's not too abstract. This is from the album Silent Alarm, the band Block Party. Gas from the first album by the band Block Party. The singer and guitarist Kele Okereke and the drummer Matt Tong are my guests on Soundcheck. Matt, when the album came out, actually even before the album came out, people were comparing you guys not just to Franz Ferdinand, who you mentioned much earlier, but to earlier bands like Joy Division, New Order, Gang of Four. I mean, were you guys even listening to any of that music back then?
Some of us were. I think Gordon's probably more the bass players more into kind of bands like that than we were. I mean, I certainly wasn't really, and still I'm not really a fan of a lot of kind of post-punk music, really. And I think we were always quite frustrated by the Gang of Four comparison, which kept coming up, because although they've obviously had an impact as a band during their time, I think their sound is a lot drier than the kind of stuff we do. It's very raw and very stripped down.
Until you got into the mid '80s, when they did a kind of a pop dance
thing. That wasn't very good, though.
No,
but I think our rhythmic elements. I suppose we do have in common sort of bands from that time, but I think we kind of operate on a very different level. I think we also take in a lot of things which have come in between then. I think kind of, you know, dance music and pop, you know, more current pop music's also been a very strong influence in what we do.
Kelly, you were saying your parents weren't that much into music, and then you rattled off this incredible list of, I mean, you know, Fela Kuti, The Beatles, Bob Marley. Did you at some point, you know, realize, hey, they didn't have a whole lot of music, but what they had was good stuff.
Yeah, not really, actually. It was kind of funny that I, because they're my parents, I regarded their tastes with, like, complete sort of disinterest, really. I didn't, it took me a while to appreciate it. Only really, I guess, after I left home, did they start to, you know, warm to sort of, you know, Nigerian folk music as a, you know, Afrobeat sort of stuff.
Right.
But before, when I was a kid, I just thought it was, you know, really awful.
You know, your children are going to completely rebel against you. Get to like the Stereophonics or something. Yeah.
So now, coming back full circle, Kelly, you know, the story of you handing your record to Alex from Franz Ferdinand. Some kid from a band in Brooklyn, you know, some Williamsburg group comes up to you after the concert tomorrow and hands you a CD. Do you now feel like a circle of life kind of obligation to take it and listen to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's something that we'd always do. You know, if somebody handed us a CD, we would listen to it. At the same token, as I said before, we all have, it's very hard to please. We're all very hard to please.
So. Uh-huh. All right, well, Bloc Party's debut album, Silent Alarm, certainly did something to cut through and has become a favorite around the Soundcheck office. And guys, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank
Good
you
luck
very
with
much.
The concert tomorrow evening at the McCarran Pool in Brooklyn. Kelly Okereke is singer and guitarist, Matt Tong, the drummer from the band Bloc Party. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. On Monday, we look into the state of music in America, from the current sound of rock to the jazz world post-Katrina. Also, has commercial hip-hop reached a point of creative stagnation? And we check up on the financial health of the country's orchestras. And an inside look into the moving and shaking in the music business. If you missed something during the show or just want to hear it again, it's archived on our website, the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Parts available as a podcast. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producers are Brian Wise, Maureen McMurray, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow. Our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Have a great weekend. Join us again at this time Monday for the next Soundcheck.